chapter 14. Reading from verse 8 to verse 14, and then verse 18 at the end. John 14, verse 8. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and you have not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how say thou to me, show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am the Father and the Father in me? The word that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." And then verse 18, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And God will bless to us that reading and hearing of his word. Before we look at those verses, Lord, I come before your throne of grace. What a faithful God. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your faithfulness. And we pray that we may understand your word as you share it to us by your Spirit. Bless us, we pray. Open our eyes and our ears that we may see and hear only Jesus, only Jesus. In his name, amen. We worship and serve an unchanging God. Do you believe it? The world has changed over the last years. In my lifetime, in your lifetime, in our forefathers' lifetime, it's changed in many different ways. Change in technology, change in communication, change in transport, and we can now Skype and see someone that we're speaking to. Things have changed, but God has not changed. He's the same today as yesterday. And all things are changing constantly. And it asks the question, are they changing for the better? Do things change for the better in our lives? Lives of our families, lives of our friends. Malachi in chapter 3 and verse 6 says this, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." And the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever." Many people might ask the question, do we need a changing God for a changing world? Many people will say God has to change. Many religions package their God in a way that they can believe in. You know, when a Russian astronaut made his way to the moon, he was heard to have said, "I look everywhere and I do not see God." And yet when an American astronaut landed on the moon, he said this, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God, what a difference. I look everywhere and cannot see God. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And many people in our lifetime and lifetime before have tried to change or destroy their concept of God. But God cannot be destroyed and he cannot be changed. Our God, the one true only God, who loved us and gave himself for us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is present in every situation. Every situation we face. But sometimes we don't want to acknowledge that. And yet at the same time, there are those who ask in those situations, why is God allowing this to happen? Not all storms come to disrupt our life. Some come to clear our path. And that might be a hard thing to hear for those who have lost loved ones. It's not meant in that sense. It's meant in the sense that when things come to disrupt us and cause us trauma, God has a purpose. The purpose is to clear our path that we may see him clearer, know him more holier, and love him with a greater love than we had before. You know, we are told in the Bible, in the beginning, God created the world. We're told that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the earth. And let me tell you this, he is still hovering over the face of the earth today. Every situation. Don't overlook that fact. And don't ignore that. We remember Isaiah says to us, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. Some of you will know I used to work for the Salvation Army, and one of the jobs that I had in Bread Street, the drop-in centre for the homeless, I got this poster. I put it on my door because some of these guys could just walk in whenever they wanted to. And the poster said this, only God can knock. Only God can enter without knocking. Only God can enter without knocking. And one day my boss came in. He saw this and he said, that's so true. But he's too much of a gentleman not to do it. God can come into every situation in life. And he can touch our lives. And he can bless us in those situations. He can help us unravel those things that are giving us trouble and trauma. Because he doesn't change. And he wants our lives to be like his. And God's plan of salvation doesn't change. The political leaders of our day may change. Our church leader may change, but God does not change. I'm sure if you're going through a difficult time just now, I want to encourage you to keep trusting. Keep trusting because God often answers our prayers in unexpected ways. Over these last weeks, we've been thinking about some of the disciples in John chapter 14, Peter and Thomas, and we come to Philip now. And for those disciples, life was going to change for them. Because Jesus said, I have to go. But if I go, I'll come back and take you with myself. But I will not leave you comfortless. I'll not leave you as an orphan. Philip was intrigued about Jesus' mention of the Father. And he asks him this question, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. You remember that Jesus, at the beginning of John's Gospel, he personally reached out to Philip. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, finding Philip. He said to him, follow me. And Philip himself quickly found Nathanael and told him the good news of Jesus. And Jesus, in his final command to disciples, said, as recorded in Matthew's Gospel, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. When that verse is often quoted, the last bit's not mentioned. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded them. In order to teach them, we have to know those things. We have to live those things. We have to behave those things like Jesus did. And surely, I am with you to the very end of the age. You see, Jesus doesn't leave us to struggle on our own. The unchanging God is with us day by day. The God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever has the same power and strength and ability and wisdom to give to us as he did to the early disciples and will to give to disciples of tomorrow and the further on. I am with you always. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And then in some of the other miracles that Jesus did, for example, the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus tests Philip where to buy food. And Philip said to him this, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread to feed each one. 8 months' wages wouldn't have enough money to buy anything. But Jesus knew how he was going to perform that miracle. You see, the unchanging God knew how to do everything. Knew how things were going to be planned and how he was going to work out things in Philip's life. And he knows how he's going to work out things in your life. Believe that. Understand that. Don't forget that. And we have also noted that after the triumphal entry in John chapter 12, now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip and said, Sir, we would like to see Jesus. And Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. And we see too in Acts chapter 1 that Philip was present during the prayer meeting in the upper room with 120 others following the resurrection. They were men who were encapsulated by God. Men who were filled by the Spirit. Men who waited in expectancy that God would do what he promised to do. And the church today needs to wait in expectancy for God to fill our lives with all the fullness of his love, his grace, his forgiveness, his wisdom, his power. The Synoptic Gospels list Philip as one of the 12 apostles. And Philip is described as a disciple from Bethesda. And the evangelist connects him with Andrew and Peter, who are from the same town. There are some people who don't believe or don't think there's a connection between Philip and the Gospels and Philip reading Acts. But I think this shows to us there is a connection there. Philip was an evangelist. He went and told people about Jesus. And we'll see that too in a minute or two when we look at Acts chapter 8. Brothers, you remember, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. They are the men of prayer and the ministry of God's word. And amongst those who on that day was Philip, the servant ministry. We are all called to serve. Let me ask you a question, but where is God calling you to serve? Have we opened our lives up, our minds up, to let the Spirit speak into us and give us direction and understanding as where He wants us to serve Him? Philip realized the power of God was greater than anything he could produce. For him, the power of God was the real deal. Our God is greater. Your God is greater. My God is greater. We need to believe that and trust that and implement that in our walk with God. And if God is with us, who can be against us? You know, the power of God can change anyone's life. It changed Saul of Tarsus as he walked Damascus Road. The Ethiopian eunuch as he came from his church. Cornelius, who we're told was a good man. But that wasn't enough, because the Bible records him as being the first Gentile to become a Christian. So although he was a good man, he needed to know the Savior. The Apostle Paul wrote, you remember it, in Corinthians at Ephesus, "It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast." We require, each and every one of us, we require to be sensitive to leadership of the Spirit. We need to be faithful to the Spirit, because we are all part of a bigger chain. The seed you sow today, someone might speak to someone yesterday, to that person, and be instrument to lead them to Christ. The gospel is for all people, because everyone needs to know the Lord. And just like Jesus, we need to go where people are hurting, people are injured, people need to hear the good news. After all, we were beneficiaries of that love. And we need to mobilize each other, to encourage each other, to mobilize each other, to know that faith is important, their story is important, that the person sitting next to you in the bus is important and needs to know the Lord. But how do we do it? Well, Philip was sensitive to God's Spirit. Read in Acts chapter 8. The Spirit said to him, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." The eunuch was sensitive to God's Spirit. He's a man obviously coming from his church that morning, reading Scripture. As Philip came and sat in that chariot, he said to him, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about?" Now, you may argue that the Ethiopian eunuch asked a question. And I would argue, however, that's true. But it was God's Spirit who brought those two people together. Was this an accident or a coincidence? Well, you might say it was simply an accident because they bumped into each other. Einstein said, "Coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous." Or put a different way, coincidence is the word we use when we can't see the levers and the pulleys. So Peter was sensitive. The eunuch was sensitive. Peter was sensitive to God's Spirit. You remember after he denied his Lord, Luke picks up the story and he tells us, Peter went out and wept bitterly. The Spirit so spoke into his life. He remembered the words of the Lord said to him, "Before the cock crows three times, you'll deny me." And he was remorseful. He remembered the words of the Lord. And he demonstrated that remorse in tears. And sometimes God has to bring us to tears to demonstrate our repentance. When I was a boy, I remember some adults telling me, "Big boys don't cry." Maybe you remember that too. But you know, when God touches our life, we can't do anything else but weep with thanksgiving and with joy that He's so chosen us to be part of His kingdom. Peter was sensitive. He was remorseful. He remembered. He responded with tears. Thomas was sensitive to God's Spirit. On seeing his risen Lord, he didn't need to touch or handle. He simply made that exclamation, "My Lord and my God." The Savior's hands and side, he didn't need to touch. Sight was enough. Saul of Tarsus was sensitive. As he traveled the road to Damascus with the intention of taking Christians prisoner and possibly killing them, God spoke to him. And he responded with a question, "Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord?" Those men who were with him that day heard the sound, but did not see anyone. And you and I need to be sensitive to God's Spirit too. Remember, Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit." What does grieving the Holy Spirit mean? Do not grieve. Do not cause sorrow or distress the Holy Spirit. And I have to ask myself the question, and I share the question with you. Do we grieve the Holy Spirit when our faith remains anonymous with those whom we are having a conversation? Are we sensitive to the prodding of the Holy Spirit? There was one instance when I was in Gorgie Stenhouse Baptist Church. I was passing by what was Chalmers Hospital. I knew there was a man there, a godly, godly man. And I felt I should go and see him. I said to myself, "He's a good Christian. He doesn't need that, me to go there and see him." how wrong I was. Because the next day I heard he had died. Now that man didn't need to know salvation. He was a stalwart of the Christian church. But maybe he needed to have a word from me. I don't know. Don't underestimate when God prods you to do something. You know, we are not called to be involved in religious or political wars. Simply be faithful to our God and Saviour. And on that incident, when Philip was prodded by the Spirit to go and speak to the Ethiopian eunuch, to go and down to Gaza, and he met up with this Ethiopian eunuch, and the man said to him, "What am I reading here?" And he's able to tell him about Jesus, about God's love, God's forgiveness, and God's faithfulness. You know, when I think about it, my own life, and no doubt your life too, although I don't want to be judgmental, but today, I think we are more prone to talk about the weather, the sport, the news, our family, our work, maybe even Brexit. But how many of us in our conversation mention the J word? It's been reported that something like 94% of people don't really witness about Jesus. We'll talk about this and that and the other thing, but we won't say anything about Jesus. An alternative estimate states that 7% of Christians speak openly about their faith. How do we share that faith with men and women whom we have an acquaintance with? Whom we just talk to in the street? And very often, it's like the Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. We can use something that person says to us to change the conversation. That Jesus died and rose again and will return. You see, the Spirit was preparing Philip to speak into that situation. But sometimes we are oblivious to that with our lives. Philip had a spiritual aptitude. He didn't have a PhD. And we have to be in tune with God's Spirit to be able to be ready to say something to the person who speaks to us. Because it's the gospel and the gospel alone that will bring forgiveness to sinners to final everlasting joy. The good news that Jesus loved them, that Jesus did something positive, that Jesus died and rose again and promises to come back. We have worship today and we serve an unchanging God. And you and I are part of that chain. The seed you have sown today, tomorrow, this week, irrespective of how small it is, will germinate, it will grow. And others may be the right person to bring it to fruition. As you will, might be the person from the seed sowing that other people have done. Zechariah says to us, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Listen to what the Spirit has to say. Listen to his prodding, his pleading, his directing as he agonizes with you to share something. But use that person's conversation as a springboard to Christian things. Acts chapter 8 and verse 5 tells us those scattered preaching the word of God. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And God wants to use your words and mine. Never think you're not good enough. You're not educated enough. You can't speak properly. Because God can take what you say and his Spirit does the rest of the work. We don't have to plead for a person to become a Christian. We have to leave it in God's hands and let his Spirit work within them. Paul reminds us that he visited and stayed at the home of Philip the evangelist, who was obedient to God's Spirit. The man who loved to evangelize. And you know this, a Christian, we're told in Scripture, would have a greater message to proclaim simply because there'd be more of it. Be able to proclaim that Christ died and rose again, and go on to share the outpouring of God's Spirit in their lives. We are told the Christian would have a greater audience than the first century Christians. Not just as a missionary, but you and me, and the modes of communication that God has given to us. Facebook, Twitter, email, video. The world is now a global village. And all that adds meaning to the verses at the beginning of John's Gospel. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be upset because I am going away. Because I go to the Father, your lives will be enriched immeasurably. And down from the first century, when Jesus spoke those words, to today, God has sought to enrich our lives immeasurably more. Become a greater field, a greater opportunity to share the gospel, to share the good news that Jesus loves everybody and he loves you. And he loves the person you're speaking to. Do you realize that? Jesus loves the person you're speaking to. Your neighbor, your friend, your work colleague, the person you just bump into in the supermarket, and they might say something to you, and you can take their words and you can fine-tune them and use them to bring about the gospel message. Your ministry will be more effective. Your outlook will be more radiant. Your influence will extend across the world. You'll be lifted to heights of blessedness yet unknown. Let not your heart be troubled because I go to the Father. Think about it this way. If God became less holy, sin would no longer be sin. If God became less just, sin would no longer be punishable. If God became less sovereign, then man would take his place. And down through the years, we've seen men trying to play God. But God is God. He is unchangeable today, as he was yesterday, and will be tomorrow. And he calls each and every one of us to share that with those who meet in a natural way, that they may find life and life to the full. That's what you're asked to do. That's your mandate from Master, his word, to share with others that God loves them. But I have to remember that I have to let people see in my life and through my life, by my action and my behavior. And sometimes I grieve the Holy Spirit by not doing what he wants me to do. But I have to let him have full control of my life, that I might let people see Jesus in me. And I'm sorry, Lord, when that's not happened. I seek his forgiveness. I ask for more of his power. And maybe we should all ask that this morning, for more of God's power in our lives to transform us and change us and enable us to be the people God wants us to be. We serve a risen Savior, but how do we serve him? Father God, thank you for the task you have given to us. Forgive us for the times we've failed you, sometimes miserably. And help us to realize that you make openings for us. What people say, what people ask, can obviously be the instrument we can use to turn conversations round to a God who loves them and cares for them. Thank you, you're always with us. You never leave us. May we never forget that, but always rejoice and glory in the God our Savior. Amen.